welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we've returned once again, though not from our usual quarters.
No.
If the echoes in the room sound different, if the ghosts around us sound a little more hollow, it's because we're in a much, much bigger space. Because we are currently in and around St. Louis, technically the Belleville area, we're on the Illinois side of the river, visiting Ellie's son as he both turns 18 and celebrates graduating high school.
Yes.
So we have to start with a big congratulations to Shawnee for doing what none of us thought he could. No, we knew he'd make it.
Yeah.
I still owe you 20 bucks, though, but... But yes, yes, very, very glad for him and excited for him to be heading to Murray State. Come fall should be a great move for him. I'm excited to see what becomes of this fine young gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're interested in what becomes of us, please do check us out at hauntweekly.com. We are Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Twitter. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will whisk you away to our YouTube channel where you can listen to all the episodes there at your perusal. Yes, I know YouTube's a video site, but these are audio-only videos, so you can put them on. If you have YouTube Red, you can even close the lovely app and then listen to them in the background. It's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, it is an even episode, so that means it's time for me to do the conference. Reminder of the kickoff, I should say. We still alternate. So on that note, everyone, June 22nd through the 23rd in Ulster Park, New York, it's the premier Haunted Attractions Tour and Education from the Super 8 Kingston. Hey, we're at Super 8.
Here we are.
Yes, we are. They'll be touring the Headless Horseman and all seven of his attractions. Learn more at premierhaunttour.com. And this is interesting. I actually looked up details before we went on. They're doing it in a weird kind of A-B way, where an A group will go on the tour, and then a B group will stay behind and do the education stuff, then flip it the next day, and then on the third day, everyone gets the full experience.
Oh, that is pretty interesting.
It's a really good way to do it. This is brilliant.
And remember these dates, because they might be important a little bit later.
Yes, they might. They might.
All right. Then, July 14th and 15th, it's the Southeast Halloween Enthusiast Convention in Ocala, Florida. 2300 Southwest 17th Road in Ocala, Florida, featuring a ghost walk tour and a costume ball. SEHEC.com for more info.
All right, July 27th through the 29th in the Music City Center in Nashville, Tennessee. It's Room Escape Conference and Tour. They'll be touring up to 8 different escape games, 2 different groups, A group and a B group, will each tour for. Some of the games you can visit are Extreme Escape Games, Live Minds, Adventure Escape, Escape Point, and Lock Murfreesboro. RoomEscapeShow.com.
Okay, July 28th through the 29th, it's Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California. It's at the Long Beach Convention Center.
Big shot, right?
Exactly. Features dozens of on-site haunted attractions and experiences, largest hall of shadows in their history, as well as a Screaming Room Film Festival. MidsummerScream.org for more on that.
All right, the day after, July 30th, also in Long Beach, California, serious hint dropping taking place here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium 2018 at the Queen Mary Hotel, put on by the Haunted Attractions Network, also known as Gant Media. 6 keynotes followed with discussions to follow. Learn more details at hauntedattractionnetwork.com.
All right, August 5th through the 6th, Scare LA in Los Angeles, California. It's at the Los Angeles Convention Center in West Halls. Not the East Halls, the West Halls. Features scary wood, 60,000 square foot of mini haunts.
I know, that sounds so awesome.
That sounds really cool.
Oh my god.
Also features float and it-themed cinematic VR experience, a film festival, and a costume ball. ScareLA.com for more.
And finally for this week, Haunt Halloween and Haunt Fest is August 16th through the 19th at Mesquite, Texas, just outside of Dallas, at the Mesquite Convention Center. features a Haunter mixer and zombie paintball hunt, a costume ball, and a movie night. And they will also be touring the Munsters Mansion as part of this. Additional info still TBA, HalloweenandHaunt.com for all the details. Looks like a great, great series of conferences coming up. And here we find ourselves in our giant hotel room. This thing is abhorrently big. Doing the news a little bit late this week because, as we mentioned, as we did not mention previously, this is episode 132. Therefore, it's divisible by four. That means it's time to do the news. There, we got that out of the way.
Yes.
I totally forgot to do that at the beginning.
It's okay.
We're a little frazzled because, like I said, I'm sitting here in a living room, in a hotel room. I think it's as big as our house almost. At least it feels it. Because we got a free upgrade when our room was under renovation.
Yeah.
So that's nice. But anyways, it's going to be kind of a slow news week. I've got to be honest. We're getting to that season where not a lot of stuff is happening. People are gearing up. We're in the early stages of people announcing haunts opening. So we're kind of in the shift where we're not quite talking about last season and not quite talking full-throated about next season.
Right.
But anyways, we still have more than a few stories to go through, so if class wraps up a little early, you understand why. All right, first off this week, Universal Orlando has announced it is rewriting the rules a little bit of Halloween Horror Nights and will be adding a 10th haunted attraction this season.
Yeah.
Typically it does 9, now it is doing 10. And here's the thing, it's kind of weird. When I saw this, I went to a few sites, and a few people did not seem to understand why this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to say to those people is, you probably never built a haunted house, even a small one.
Probably not.
If you can't understand why going from 9 to 10 is a big project for them to build, staff, operate a 10th haunted attraction is a huge deal, then you clearly never worked significantly in a haunted house. But yes, they have announced for the first time they will go to 10. The new house is unnamed right now, which is a little frustrating. We didn't get a new fact. Usually this time of year, every month we do these news podcasts, we have some like new attraction to announce at Halloween Horror Nights.
Right.
They're announcing, you know, like previously, recently we've announced both the Stranger Things and the Trick or Treat ones. Usually right around now we're like advertising they're going to do E.T. or whatever. I don't know. They're not doing E.T.
No.
No, that would be stupid.
Where you pulled that from?
I don't know. It's a pretty scary movie to some people.
Yeah.
E.T. looked weird, man. I'm just telling you. But yeah, so they're not doing E.T. one. But usually we're announcing something like that. But now we're announcing instead that they are adding a 10th haunt. Now, they previously announced, like I said, Stranger Things and Trick or Treat. But they've also announced Vamp 85 New Year's Eve, which, of course, is a sequel to a previous haunt they had done. And they've also announced the Twisted Tradition. But yeah, supposedly, almost certainly there are further announcements due to come. But yeah, right now the big deal is there will be a 10th attraction.
Yeah, which is interesting to announce it before they announce the others, what the others are going to be.
Yeah, that is kind of strange. And I also find it interesting that they have been advertising that tickets are on sale currently right now. You can go buy your HHN tickets.
Right.
And my understanding is, including... if you include the theme park, it's, I believe, only like $70 per person.
That is not bad at all.
I'm double checking this. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth.
That sounds like something that needs to be
more houses than ever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we get it. What are the ticket prices? Come on. But you can basically buy, in terms of like a per haunted attraction ticket rate, it is pretty much unbeatable. Is what I'm seeing. Okay, yeah. I was wrong, but not by much. A single night ticket, which good luck getting to all 10 haunts in one night, but it is $62.99 plus tax.
Cool.
The gate price will be $114. That is if you buy online.
Yeah.
So if you're going to Halloween Horror Nights, or think you might be going to Halloween Horror Nights, strong piece of advice, buy your tickets now.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice.
That's really goddamn good. And multi-night tickets will be, by the way, $95.99.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that for a minute. You can get some pretty baller deals right now if you're wanting to go to Halloween Horror Nights.
Right. And $95.99 for the theme park and 10 haunted houses is still a great deal.
I'm double checking that it includes the haunted house. I mean, it includes the theme park. I think it does.
Okay.
Let's see. Wow, you can get a frequent fear pass. That's pretty cool. That's $106 and includes 21 nights.
Whew. That seems like the way to go then.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But yeah, $95 will get you a multi-pass ticket.
It's popcorn, movie popcorn pricing. Yeah, $10 more will get you 22 nights.
Yeah, 22 nights.
So if you don't know if you're going to be able to make it or which days you'd be able to go, but you know you're going to be in the area at some point, you can buy that and then just go when you can.
Yeah, and it's free park, self-parking after 6 p.m. too.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so there you go. Know. Oh, it does not include the admission to the theme park. Okay, there you go. I was trying to find it one way or the other. The article was written confusingly on that one topic. But yeah, $95 gets you a multi-night pass for the first 10 nights. So they'll basically the entire run is September for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, 10 haunted attractions. We got so sidetracked on it, which is good. We don't have enough stories to fill the time. So
right.
A few sidetracks might be our saving grace here.
Maybe.
But yeah, 10 haunted attractions this year, Halloween Horror Nights. That's a significant increase.
Mm-hmm.
All right, more New Orleans news this week.
There is.
There is. Voodoo Fest, which is a music festival, which has been the bane of my existence in this city.
No kidding.
Because I always want to goddamn go.
Yeah.
And they always are open the weekend before Halloween when we are open and at our busiest.
Yeah.
And this year they're having Marilyn Manson, too, as one of the acts. And I'm not going to make that because he's Friday night.
Oh.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is an article by Blabbermouth. Voodoo Fest announced its lineup, like I said, and it also announced it will feature an on-site interactive haunted house as part of the festival.
Right.
Now, this happened last year.
We're pretty sure it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know at least one person who was working at a haunted attraction at Voodoo Fest.
Right.
And we pressed for details, but didn't get many. This person now is off traversing the country in some kind of a caravanning thing they're doing. They're out of touch, basically, so I can't call them to confirm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is the first time that I know for certain they've announced this in advance.
Exactly.
I have to wonder if the attraction last year was kind of a last-minute pull-together, spontaneous thing, and this year they tried to incorporate, make it a part of Voodoo Fest in a bigger way.
Yeah, I think maybe last year it wasn't officially announced, and then it got more attention and sales of additional inside tickets than they expected, so now they're doing it again.
Yes. But this year, they're going to have a new challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We announced last month, or we broke the, we told the news, we didn't break it or announce it.
Right.
That the mortuary, another haunted attraction here in New Orleans, is opening Scout Island Scream Park, which is on the same property.
Right. And I don't, and I tried to find out if maybe they were talking about the same place.
No. Scout Island is not near the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
City Park is mammoth.
It is.
You can have this giant film music festival in one place and Scout Island in a total other.
You can.
I'm pretty sure, about 100% sure, those are damn near opposite ends of the park.
Right.
It's a huge park. But still, that's two haunted attractions on the same property.
Right.
Just one is inside a music festival, and the other will be a more traditional haunted theme park type thing.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see how this one goes. I would not be surprised if we saw more music festivals going this route, even at, not at Halloween time.
It sounds like a fun way to do it.
Yeah.
Give people other stuff to do.
Well, everyone,
especially at the big festivals.
Yeah, especially at the big festivals, because everyone at the big festivals always have the same set of problems, which is you have the crush of humanity to see the bands you want. You have gaps where there are no bands you're interested in.
Yeah.
And so you either wander around and drink beer or whatever, and then eventually stagger your way to a stage that maybe will interest you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there can be other things you can do, in a especially at like hard rock festivals, where the culture of haunting seems to be more aligned. You might be able to do that. I mean, I'm just saying maybe not Lilith Fair, but...
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, lots of the local haunted houses, okay, so a couple of the local haunted houses for their bigger nights, mm-hmm. have bands, yes. have rock bands play at the Haunted House. So yeah. this is just the reverse.
Yeah, House of Shock has always sort of advertised itself as a Haunted House part, you know, horror festival thing.
Yeah.
With bands, with sideshows, with right. bars, and you know, all kinds of, and way too few porta potties.
Yeah.
Like every that festival. Rock. That rock and sway in the wind.
Yeah.
That is not a good feeling, guys. No. I'm not even going to pretend that is the type of fear you do not want in a haunted house.
Right.
Oh, God. But yeah. So this is going to be a very, very interesting year for haunting in New Orleans.
It is.
I'm going to be paying very, because you have Scout Island opening.
Yeah.
You have this attraction also being present, whether it's the first year or not. Currently, I'm almost 100% sure this is the first year it's been promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And you have whatever the heck is going on with the property at the House of Shock.
Yeah.
We're getting details. We're hearing rumors.
Lots of new stuff happening.
Lots of stuff happening. But it will be very interesting to see what comes of it. We know it will not be House of Shock. Other than that, we don't know anything. We know something will open at that property.
Yeah.
What? I don't know.
Right.
So that's three wild cards in what has been a fairly static haunting scene.
Yeah.
Because think about this. I mean, this one, since the mortuary opened,
mm-hmm.
11 years ago, 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
what has really changed in the New Orleans haunting scene to this year? Chamber 4 is reopened.
Yeah.
That was probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's basically it.
That's it, though.
Yeah.
You've never had a shakeup like this. Not at this level, no. Not this magnitude.
No, it's like, so. Take all the things and put them in, you know, a thing with, like, dice and shake it around.
Like a Yahtzee cup. Exactly. And throw it out. Yeah, I mean, and obviously we got to see how this is going to impact the mortuary itself.
Right.
Because who knows how if it's going to be neglected or what's going to become of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very, very interesting year for haunting in New Orleans. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. September can't come soon enough. Actually, yes, it can. We have to finish our haunt first.
Yeah.
Once we finish our haunt, then September can come as fast as we want.
Yes.
How's that?
I would agree with that.
That seems perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
And we're getting started once we get back into New Orleans.
Right.
All right, so this is an interesting one here. If you're in the New York City area, June 22nd through 24th.
Which you may be.
May be for a particular conference mm-hmm. we were just discussing a minute ago.
Exactly.
There will be a limited run haunted attraction taking place. Okay, now here's the deal as best I can tell. James Murray, Murr's the name he goes by on Impractical Jokers. I've only seen a few minutes of Impractical Jokers because it comes on before Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah.
Which is like one of the greatest shows on television. I don't understand Impractical Jokers. I don't get it as a concept.
No.
I don't get anything about it. But one of the guys, Murr, is working with an author named Darren Wearmouth to release a book called Awakened. And basically the idea behind the book is that they open a new subway line in New York City and they stir some kind of evil force, and it's haunting the subway line and murdering people and terrorizing the city.
Right.
All right. Sounds kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. If you're into that type of book, that's probably pretty interesting. But anyways, as part of the promotion, they're doing a limited run haunted house called Wakened the Experience in New York City. It's being put on by the team behind Blood Manor, a major New York City haunted attraction, and it supposedly will feature a room-by-room tour of scenes from the book.
Yeah.
And happenings from the book. We've been seeing this a lot more. Haunted attractions are used as promotion for other things, whether right. it's an album being released by mm-hmm. a band, whether it's a book or a movie. We saw the Bates Motel, for example. The Bates Hotel became a haunted attraction
right.
at South By.
Yeah. Also, didn't Bacardi last year yes. do a haunted art?
A bat-themed one.
Yes.
Which is how I learned the Bacardi logo is a bat.
Yes.
Which is bad because I drank Bacardi.
I know. How did you not know this?
Probably because I drank Bacardi.
It's all over the beads.
God, yeah, I know, okay? I feel stupid enough as it is.
Anyway, so yeah, we have seen this before, and not this exact one, obviously, but it's interesting. I'm glad that more haunted things are happening outside of season so that maybe Americans can start thinking about it more as a year-round thing.
Yes. Now, obviously the question I have is what type of quality is this going to be for three nights only, basically 3 days, 3 nights only?
Right.
And for the promotion of the book. They didn't indicate, this is from a press release, by the way, they didn't indicate the price or the cost or anything.
Yeah.
And in fact, interestingly enough, I don't think they mentioned the specific location. Okay. Oh, there it is. There it is. It's at the bottom of the press release.
Oh, okay.
It's at 139 Charles Street in New York City, and it will be open 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the Friday the 22nd, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, June 23rd, and on the Sunday, June 24th, it'll be 3 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay.
They do not mention cost. My guess, it's probably a free thing. Like I said, it's done in promotion. So, if dare to enter Waken the... Oh, they have a website. They bury a lot in this press release that they shouldn't bury.
Yes, they didn't put the important stuff up first.
Yeah, who, what, when, where, why, how, guys. Come on.
Yes, we did a whole thing on that.
No, we did, actually. Maybe, just maybe, we're not the only ones that should be speaking about that.
No.
But, yeah. So, awakenednovel.com is where you go for more information if you are interested. Still, interesting to see it used in promotion, and if you happen to be in the New York area, like you might be for that, like you might be for the Premier Haunted Attractions Tour and Education Series,
right?
You might be able to go. And plus, the Premier Haunted Attractions Tour and Education Series is the 22nd and 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to go. Yeah, the 24th, you have that extra day.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah.
At least it puts you in the ballpark, doesn't it? Yeah, Ulster Park, New York, is fairly close to New York City.
Yeah, so, I'm not sure how far away they are, but if they are, it's definitely worth checking out.
Hang on. I'm pulling it up on a map real fast, and I know you are too.
Mm-hmm.
It is a two-hour drive, basically.
Okay, so not that close.
Not that close, but not that crazy either, if you have a car in an extra day.
Right.
So, yeah, just saying.
Okay.
So after that, we have an article here by the Herald Tribune talking about Paranormal Cirque, which is already a pretty interesting concept. It bills itself as an R-rated circus.
Right.
And going through the photos and the information I have, it seems to deal more with like violent imagery and things rather than this, like sex and nudity are.
Yeah.
A lot of vampires, a lot of zombies, and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a horror-themed circus, which is appropriate because they have added a new attraction to their circus, which basically takes you through a haunted house between the ticket line and your seat.
Yeah. Which sounds fun, and it sounds appropriate.
It's really freaking awesome, I have to admit.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, and I would have loved to see... We did that No-Ring Circus thing here...
Right.
Which was a, basically it's two clowns, two professional clowns.
It was more than two.
Well, it was two leads, though.
Yeah.
But there were others, you're right.
Yeah.
But they do a, I guess you would call it a nihilistic, circus.
Yeah.
Which was actually a lot of fun. I mean, I know nihilism and fun do not go in.
Nihilism, fun, and clowns. Got it.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad you understand what this is about. It's three words.
It's really hard to explain.
It is. It is a comedy thing, but they could have done something like that, too. That would have been interesting.
It would have been, especially out in the waiting area.
Yeah.
So...
But still, it's an interesting idea having it meshes well once again with the culture of what you're trying to do here. You've got this horror themed show, and basically you're going to have a haunted attraction on the way to it. And the author of this article, Anna Bryson, said that she kept her cool the whole time until someone fired up the chainsaw.
Which,
you know, we hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it sounds like a really, really fun thing. And by the way, if you want to go yourself, the group is touring right now. They are but they're only in Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina.
Right.
So they're not leaving those three states. You can look up their information. I had the website here, and I just lost it. I think it's Paranormal Cirque. Yeah, it is. It's Paranormal CIRQUE.com for more information. The tour runs between June 11th and July 12th. Basically, if you're trying to catch the Florida dates, they're in Ocala, Florida on the 21st through the 24th, and that'll be pretty much it. Then they head for Savannah, Georgia. So, and looking at the photos, it looks like a lot of fun, and I'm really glad they decided to incorporate a haunted attraction into it.
Right. And this is another one of those things, just like with music festivals, including haunted houses and book premieres, now we have a circus. So the list just keeps getting longer.
Yeah, it does. But it's always things where it's appropriate, it seems to be. Like Bacardi, we mentioned Bacardi. Bacardi's marketing can work with it because it already is a little bit horror themed with the bats.
Right.
And they also already have a big marketing push at Halloween every year.
Yeah.
And like I said, the book release, it's a horror book. If you're releasing, a sequel to the Little House on the Prairie books, maybe it's not as appropriate. Those books do get pretty horrifying at times.
Zombie Prairie.
Alright. But yeah, it's always when it's appropriate, which seems to be a good thing right now.
Yeah.
Alright, so this one is fascinating. The Wyandotte, I'm never sure how to pronounce that.
Yeah, we probably should have looked this up.
Yeah, we should have looked
up. Because we've been hanging out with family and stuff, the research on this has been a little more lax
hasty
than usual.
If you've noticed that we're a little off our rocker this time, that's why. We've spent the past weekend with extended family and friends and haven't had the time to do the exact...
And first time meeting of family. Yeah. And they just left this morning, so...
We kind of had to pull all this together a little bit quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of it quickly. But yeah, if you are in the Wyandotte area in Michigan, you are interested in learning about how to build and to work in a haunted attraction, this is a potentially excellent opportunity right here because they have put out a call for volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. They are one of, if not the longest running haunted attraction in the United States.
Right.
They are entering their 42nd season.
That's a lot of seasons.
They are, as a haunted attraction, older than either of the people on this podcast.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
They're holding a meeting on June 13th to recruit new builders, decorators, and designers for the haunt. They are offering to teach people who do not know. If you are willing to put in the time and willing to work, they are willing to instruct. And here's the craziest part, JC membership, not required.
Nope.
So you can just come in off the streets as long as you remotely support what the JCs do.
Yeah.
You get to step in.
Yeah.
And I guess, for once Janet was wrong, this is the Junior Chamber of Commerce.
God. Anyway.
Yes! Horror joke.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it is, and it's a great opportunity for lots of people. I know that a lot of our listeners are already into haunted houses.
Obviously, yeah, they would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so. But if you know someone who's curious and doesn't have the skills or the experience, then this is something to recommend.
Or if you're in the area and you want to donate your talents to a worthwhile organization, this is good.
That too.
And also, if you want to brush up, like I said, you're going to be hard-pressed to find veterans with more experience.
Right.
So, something to think about. They put out a call June 13th is the day to meet. Hopefully they will get the requirements that they get the volunteers they need and we'll have a great 42nd season.
Yes. So that is Wednesday for you, those of you playing along.
Yes. That's coming up fast. Actually, details are on their Facebook page. Actually, you can pull it up there.
Okay.
All right. This next one, there's not a lot of information on this one. But I thought the concept was so interesting, I had to include it.
Okay.
This is an article by Abraham Hurt at The Paper. It's literally called The Paper. The paper is called The Paper. You can't make this up, folks.
No.
But the Montgomery County, and this is in Indiana, by the way, the Montgomery County Cultural Foundation wants to open a haunted house. Now, they've done a slew of other Halloween-themed things. including a haunted jail. Basically, they have one of the old Rotary jails.
Right.
And if you've never seen a Rotary jail, basically it's like the entire jail is on a cylinder.
Yeah.
That rotates, and that way you can more easily control inmates. They stopped using it because it also created problems of like inmates losing limbs.
Yeah, that's not such a good thing.
So it's not an active jail.
Yeah.
The Rotary jail, but they put on a haunted jail, and they also put on a Spring Street. Oh, what the tongue?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy. Spring Street freak show. And the haunted jail. So they've done Halloween Fence before, but they want to do a new haunted house. And the idea they came up with is to have two local colleges, Wabash College and DePaul University, compete to create the scariest section of the haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also contacted North Montgomery, Southmont, and Crawfordsville High School. What's with the names in this region? High School.
Maybe it's just your ability to read.
It may well be. To see if they are interested in participating as well.
Yeah.
I had never thought of this idea of having two institutions of any stripe compete.
No. Especially not for haunted house build.
Yeah, that... I mean, the obvious benefit is you can get more volunteers. You can get by dividing up the labor of building the haunt. Say you've got a 5,000 square foot area.
Right.
Instead of having one crew that has to build 5,000 square feet, you have two crews that have to build 2,500 square feet.
Yeah.
It's much easier to do for them in terms of getting people there and getting people to do the work.
Right.
But the downside is it's going to be a very incongruent haunted house. You're going to have to make it two separate attractions.
Yeah.
And also, how are you going to determine who's scariest?
I don't know.
I'm really curious. Are you going to take, like, a poll afterward? Mm-hmm. Are you going to have people, like, you know, send in their responses or whatever? Because it seems like almost anything you do could be gamed. Because it could be a matter of just, hey, even if you do it at the event itself.
Right.
If one college does a better job of recruiting people to go to the haunt, which, hey, once again, more donations.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily mean who's actually scariest.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it could be... Yeah. Who knows? I'm sure that we'll find out more details as it gets closer about how they're going to determine which one's the scariest.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it's going to work. But I, like I said, I have to really admire the fact that they are willing to try something so new after seeming they've done these previous events for 10 years, seemingly with great success.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm kudos to them for trying something new. If they do this, it would be at the Rotary Jail Museum, October 5th and 6th, so early in season. And Crystal has highlighted that and asked if we could go. Is Indiana? I do not know.
Yeah.
We have to see how that times out with other things and how it times out with
right.
money.
Yeah, well, yes. That, anyway.
Anyway, it would be
we'll
fun
see.
To go. I admit, it'd be fun
it would
to go.
Be fun to go. And it's early enough in season that it's a possibility.
Yes. All right. Our tradition, as always with these things, we have to have a sad story here and there.
Yeah.
And this one, once again, not a lot of information is available, but it's an article by WAND17. Clinton, Illinois, Terror on Washington Street was vandalized by an unknown number of vandals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the article doesn't really give any information other than where to contact for, you know, tips and so forth.
Right.
Which that's coming from, interestingly enough, the local Chamber of Commerce, not Crime Stoppers or something like that. It's,
yeah.
Like, I thought that was a little weird to me. But anyways, the photo shows what appears to be outdoor signage and tents that were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Just a reminder to all haunt owners... Be sure to secure your outdoor stuff.
Yeah, and I know that in the past there have been break-ins to haunted houses in the off season. So that's something to keep in mind too.
Well, remember last year we had that break-in while they were building, like the heart
yeah.
of building, like in September or sometime.
Yeah.
They broke in. It's like, that is gutsy.
Well, and just a few months ago,
yeah.
at least I believe it was a few months ago, there was one in Texas.
Yeah.
That was broken into and had thousands of damage, dollars of damage.
Yeah.
Done.
This one, it appears to be mostly like PVC. It's hard to, the photo's pretty terrible too.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell if it's PVC or metal framing from the photo, but whatever it is, it looks like it can be reassembled. But
mm-hmm.
so there's no word on the amount of damage that was done. But yeah, basically, guys, just a quick reminder, if you have outdoor stuff, make sure it is secured. Because if it can happen in Clinton, Illinois, it can happen to your haunt.
Yeah.
That is probably the safest, smallest town you're going to get. You know what I mean? So anyways, just something to think about. Now, our last story, like I said, we might be wrapping up kind of new. This is actually an article from the New York Times by Jordan Teicher at the New York Times. Photographer Misty Keesler has released a book focusing on haunted attractions. And this is one of those times you just have to look at the link. I'm sorry. We're an audio-only podcast. There are limits to what we can do.
Right.
But it is a great series of photos. Basically, Keesler was never interested in haunted attractions.
Yeah.
Until a few years ago, her husband, good husband, by the way, dragged her to a few haunts. And she became very fascinated with the decoration and how things were done. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much the scary part, but like how the rooms are put together and to create an immersive experience. So she made a project out of it. And she spent the next couple of years visiting major haunted attractions. She specifically went to 13, including the 13th Gate near us in Baton Rouge, the Scare House, and the Headless Horseman, which has come up now three times
in this podcast.
This episode has kind of mentioned it three times. But yeah, and she's taken photos. And these are very interesting photos. Well, some of them are very easy to place. Like, I looked, and the article includes several photos from the 13th Gate, which is a haunt we know extremely well.
Yeah.
We go multiple times every year.
Yes.
We know that haunt.
That photo came from this scene.
But the first photo she had was a generic, looked like an autopsy table with some newspaper clippings on the background. Mm-hmm. And it was a very good photo and a very good scene. But my first thought was that could be anywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't immediately recognize what room. Now, the damned clown van and the scene with the stars above it, I recognized immediately without any help from the caption. But the first one, I had to kind of read the caption to see where it was from. And this is something that she seems to do a lot of, where she captures photos from haunted attractions of both the magnificent stuff and the more mundane details.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old cigarette machine in the corner of a room, the old broken cigarette machine.
Right.
Things like that, that could be from any haunt, but also are a key part to the immersion. And we don't often think about that.
Yeah.
You know, as haunters, we tend to be like, hey, I've got this old broken vending machine, and it'll work in this room. We'll stick it in the corner and dirty it up, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
We don't think about that, but because we don't oftentimes think of what we do as art.
Well, so I think there's two sides to that. One is that might be true. We may not think of it as art. But two is that we know a lot of our customers, the majority of them, are not going to see those little details.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes under time crunches, some of the little details get lost.
Time and budget crunches, too.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But, you know, we don't think about that a lot. Mm-hmm. And she has really put the light on it. These photographs are absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And she also paid attention to what the haunted attractions use to scare people.
Right.
And she noted something that we've talked about previously on the podcast, which is that it's more contemporary threats, as she puts it, were avoided. Things like terrorism, gun violence, hijackings, etc.
Right.
Though we did escape room featuring a hijacking, but that was a wee bit different.
Yeah, it is.
But anyways, if you're interested, the book is simply entitled Haunt, H-A-U-N-T, and it was published last fall. It's available in bookstores all over the place. Well, that's all the news we have. Like I said, we're going to be closing up a little bit early because of the vacation and because of all that stuff. So, yeah, we'll probably make this about a 40-minute podcast. But anything real fast you want to point out and discuss before we wrap it up?
No, I'm looking forward to this season in New Orleans. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a wild one, and I'm definitely going to head to Barnes & Noble or somewhere and see if I can pick up a copy of that book.
Right, because that's something... Head to the bookstore. That's something that, you know, is good for the industry. It's good publicity to show a different side, not just, you know, people screaming and terror.
It shows, I think, the work that goes into it. And the work that we don't, like I said, we don't always think about it.
Yeah, and I wonder if the people who buy this book, the general public, not people in the industry, but the people of the general public who buy it, will take a second look at that room that they're trying to get out of so fast and notice some of the detail and the hard work that goes into it.
Yeah, and see what's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to find out, because it's like you said, we've really struggled to try to have what we do respected as a medium.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
And a lot of it comes because in a lot of people's minds, haunted houses haven't evolved much in the last 40 years.
Right.
They still think, you know, back to the J.C.'s haunts in the early 70s.
Nothing wrong with J.C.'s.
Nothing wrong with it. No, we were just praising them a few minutes ago.
Exactly.
Come on. No, no, no. But that style of haunting, and they don't realize that the entire industry has moved forward.
Right.
Both in terms of how haunts are built, how haunts are decorated, how haunts are laid out, how the scares work. Mm-hmm. Everything's progressed. We're an industry with 4 decades of experience, but a lot of people still picture us as we were back in the beginning.
Right. And especially, like, the, I would say 30s and 40s, maybe even early 50s moms who bring their kids to our house for the first time, and then they're so surprised that it's not what they were expecting, because it's not what they went to as a kid.
It's not skeletons taped on trash bags and whatever. It's real construction. It's real panels. Yeah. It's real decoration. It's real work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think our neighbors are always surprised whenever we get new ones that they come through.
Yeah.
Like the woodworker who moved in next door and came through and was very surprised.
And I love that the our termite contract people always send the poor new son of a bitch to our house.
Yeah.
And never warn him about what's in the garage.
No.
So he has to go in and do the inspection in the garage every year. Yeah. Never had the same guy twice.
No.
Might not help that I run through the backside and hit him with all the scares. Oh, God. But yeah, no, I'm glad to see this, because I do want to see our industry taken a little more seriously, even if that lack of seriousness sometimes helps us.
Right.
Helps us get the scares.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's all for this week. Yes, I know we're ending a little bit early, but I do hope it was useful and that you enjoyed it. As usual, we are at hauntweekly.com. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever finer podcasts are sold. You can find us at Twitter at Haunt Weekly, at Facebook also at Haunt Weekly, and tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will take you to our YouTube channel, where all the videos are available for your perusal at any time. Once again, with YouTube Red, you can even listen to it in the background on your phone. It's just like a regular podcast there. Well, I mean, it's a regular podcast from the podcast app, too. But
I know.
Like, it's a regular podcast, but you can... never mind. Basically, if you don't want to mess around with podcast apps, but you want the podcast experience, there you go. People. Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 132, talking about May and June news. We will see you guys next week back home. See you then.